Over the weekend, Prime Minister Scott Morrison refused to meet China's new ambassador as he believed it could show weakness. Australia's relationship with China has maintained a high level of tension ever since Australia called for a probe into the origins of COVID-19 in 2020. This was recently pressed further by the Prime Minister's suggestion that China has been silent on Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The pattern casts ambiguity over future relations between the two countries, both in terms of trade and geopolitically. James Murray has this story.
As there is currently a communications freeze between parliamentary members of China and Australia, communication between the two tends to fall on press releases and government action. Speaking to Professor James Lawrenson, the director of the Australia-China Relations Institute at UTS, he makes a point of Scott Morrison's negative framing of China and its effect on relations.
Well, look, I think this is a pattern of behaviour by Scott Morrison where he wants to paint China as the bad guy and he doesn't want to give any impression that it's anything other than China's fault. I mean, Scott Morrison's on record in the relationship breakdown that Australia has done nothing to injure the relationship, nothing at all. So if that's his standpoint, then he wants to send that signal loud and clear to Beijing. Now, I don't think things are that simple, but that's the narrative that Scott Morrison's keen to project.
However, speaking to Michael Shoebridge, the Director of Defence, Strategy and National Security at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, he explains how this impression of China is also held outside of Australia.
To your point about has the current government got to say something to make Beijing's actions look like they might be a problem? No, because in Europe as well as the Indo-Pacific, favourable views of China have collapsed to historic lows since Xi took power there. And so there's a uniform reaction across much of the world, particularly advanced democratic powers, more prosperous democratic powers in Europe and the Indo-Pacific around China. So some absolute shared perceptions.
The ongoing invasion of Ukraine by Russia has resulted in several shifting allegiances around the world, with certain countries foregoing relationships when picking sides. Scott Morrison has called on China to condemn Russia's actions, which Professor Lawrenson believes to be an active move by the Prime Minister in its effect on Australia and China's relations.
Well, I don't think it needed to have a big impact on our relationship, but the bottom line is Prime Minister Scott Morrison has made it one. He's been very forthright in his public commentary, for example, accusing China of offering Russia a lifeline because China's said it will buy Russian wheat. Scott Morrison's also said that Beijing knew beforehand in black and white terms that Russia was going to invade. Now, all of these are pretty disingenuous positions, to be frank. Western countries are still importing Russian agriculture and Russian energy products. So there's nothing unusual China's doing there. There's no strong evidence that China is actually seeking to evade Western sanctions. And even Joe Biden, President Joe Biden's national security staff are not suggesting in black and white terms that China knew about the invasion beforehand. So but it's been made something to do with the Australia-China relationship where it really didn't have to be the case.
However, Mr. Shoebridge says that this condemnation of China's relationship with Russia has been had by democratic countries around the world.
Well, that doesn't appear to be the way many other countries are viewing this. In fact, if you look at statements of European and US leaders around the Russia-China partnership, you'll see a growing level of concern, not only at China's failure to condemn Putin's war, because it breaches what we've been told the long-standing principles of Chinese foreign policy around the UN Charter and state sovereignty, but also with what appears to be a positive enablement of the Russian economy in the midst of a pretty large-scale unified international sanctions from many countries, with China calling these sanctions by so many nations unilateral and actively looking at ways to avoid them or limit them or implement them in the narrowest way possible. And I think one thing that shows how this started was the day that so many countries put sanctions on Russia at the start of this conflict is the day Beijing chose to announce that it was expanding its purchase of Russian wheat.
Mr. Shoebridge goes on to draw a wider picture of China's geopolitical relationships outside of the one it has with Australia.
It's wrong to see much of this as really about the bilateral Australia-China relationship. This is really a common set of problems that multiple countries are now having with China. And a lot of our debate seems to act as if it's only Australia and China. These are very similar problems that countries in Europe and across our region are wrestling with. And the good news is that means Australia doesn't have to wrestle with them alone.
Michael Shoebridge, Director of Defence, Strategy and National Security at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, ending that report by James Murray.